Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah, here we go now.
He's gonna say he's not late, but he's late.
We 2 weeks rested, people. 2 weeks rested.
Oh my goodness, we are officially talking sports with the 12th man, and apparently the 2 weeks off, we're feeling a little spry. We got a lot of things happening. We got a lot of people on the call, Rob. If you didn't know, we've got Miss Erica, Miss JQ, we've got Mike. Hopefully we got Curtis and Gary checking in, East Coast, West Coast, in between, all that is covered. As we get this party started, we are, as Rob said, getting back from our two-week vacation. We are ready to talk some sports with the 12th man. So without further ado, let's go ahead and kick it to everyone. I'm not sure how this is going to go tonight. I'm really not sure, man. So we're going to, America, just enjoy the ride for sure. Mr. JQ, how you feel this evening, sir? Go ahead, bro.
Well, of course, because to everybody, that Saturday was Erica's birthday. So, yes, my wife and my
Happy birthday,
Miss Jenkins.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Happy birthday,
Jenkins. Hey, happy birthday from the West Coast.
Happy birthday.
Nice.
JQ and I are treating you right. Make sure you let us know so we can tighten them up for you. Uh-oh. Okay, yeah, okay. It's time to move in.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Is Ms. Jenkins going to offer any special insight, JQ,
we'll
tonight,
to
or
back,
or what?
We'll beat the stew out of them for you.
I think I'll spend the time harassing you on the phone.
I love it, man. Just right on cue. Our next co-host, Mr. Robert Ford, how you feel this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Ready to get this party started. Let's make it do what it do.
Oh, gosh. Curtis and Gary, we're checking with you guys as well. My other co-host on the West Coast, as mentioned, we are going to get this party started as we always like to do. But before we do that, everyone, let's throw out the numbers really quickly. If you want to call into the show, holler at everyone. Holler at the crew. It's going to be a fun crew tonight. The number to call is what everyone did do so tonight. It's always 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, on Facebook at facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man, or if you put in 12th man sports, you will find us as well. So without further ado, we have a lot of things to discuss. Again, we're going to kick it off with some bold predictions for this upcoming NFL season. Rob, I'll kick it to you, West Coast, and I'll let JQ kind of wrap it up as well as we do. So, floor is yours, sir.
All right. Well, this was kind of tough one to come up with seven. After about five, but I think I came up with two more. A couple of these may not be bold predictions, but the first prediction I have, and JQ and Curtis is going to really love this prediction. The Patriots are going to win the AFC again. Tom Brady.
That's not a bold prediction, Rob. Come on, bro. Come on.
It was tough to come up with a couple after about five, so I had to come up with a realistic prediction. The Patriots are going to win. They're going to win the AFC again this coming season with Tom Brady. I forgot how old he is at this point. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, without Rob Gronkowski, all of that, they're still going to win the AFC this upcoming season. I didn't say the Super Bowl, but they're definitely going to win the AFC this coming season. Next prediction. Rams won't even make the playoffs this year.
Wow.
Seahawks won't even make the West. Yep.
Wow.
I agree.
The Rams will not make the playoffs. I think they're going to struggle with some of the offensive line pieces that they're missing. Obviously, you see what's going on with Todd Gurley right now on his knees. Obviously, you know, I hate to see that with any player, but you have to be realistic. The offensive line pieces that they lost on the interior, you got to think that Andrew Whitworth is about 85 years old and is going to start to slow down at left tackle at some point. And
that was you, man.
Say what?
I said, that's LSU, baby.
Oh, yeah, he's LSU now. I mean, he helped LSU win national championship 2003. So, I mean, yeah, we love him down in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Louisiana area, absolutely. But that's a team I don't think is going to make the playoffs. I mean, obviously, Cooper Kupp is recovering from his ACL injury as well. I just think, for the most part, when you look at that offensive line, that's just going to be too many pieces. And the pieces that they still have are all aging. And I think their secondary is going to be a big concern, too. I think you started to see them having some issues at the cornerback position there in the latter part of the season as well. So that's a team I don't expect to make the playoffs. Next one, both Gary and JQ is going to love this one. The Steelers are going to miss the playoffs again. I think they're going through a little bit of turmoil right now, and I think that's going to continue this season. Obviously, not having Antonio Brown. Le'Veon Bell is gone. I think they are going to lose some of that electricity, as you know, from an offensive weapon perspective. Might be a little better defensively, but I still think that they're going to miss the playoffs yet again, which is normally not the case for their organization in Pittsburgh. Next one. I don't know if this one's so bold, but JQ might like part of this. The Browns are going to win the AFC North. We look at what they've done defensively, you look at what they've done offensively, they definitely look like the team with the most talent in the AFC North. But I think the team to watch, and most people would think it's the Ravens, I actually think it's the Bengals. You look at it, you get A.J. Brown and Tyler Boyd back healthy at the wide receiver position, Joe Mixon in the backfield, and they can just get Andy Dalton to play solid. I think Jonah Williams is going to be a great addition to that offensive line right away for the Bengals. I think they are the team that can possibly challenge the Browns, not the Ravens, definitely not the Steelers, but I think the Bengals will be the team that can possibly challenge the Browns. And they're also a team that's made some great additions on the defensive side of the ball as well. So they, I think, are the team that can possibly be a wild card or can possibly challenge the Browns for that AFC North division. Next one, number five, John Gruden will elevate Derek Carr's game this upcoming season. I think another offseason with him, some more weapons with him, I think he's going to bring Derek Carr's game back up to what we saw 2-3 years ago. And I think having this offseason with him and having these weapons with him, improving the offensive line, he is going to elevate Derek Carr's game. I think you're going to see a big impact, big improvement. The next one, Patrick Mahomes will come back down to earth just a little bit. Still going to be great. Still going to be very good. Still going to be an MVP candidate. He will not throw over 50 touchdown passes this upcoming season. I think maybe somewhere down in the 35 to 40. So he's going to come down back to earth just a little bit. And obviously there's still some questions regarding Tyreek Hill in regards to that as well. So I think he comes back down to earth a little bit as well. Obviously he doesn't have the running back that he had for most of the year last year in Hunt and now with Tyreek Hill. But I still think he can be very good, just not in that 50-plus touchdown category. And last but not least, the prediction that I'm going to love, the Saints will win the Super Bowl. Oh my gosh.
I knew that was coming.
Those are my seven bold predictions.
Rob. that definitely wasn't what I was thinking you were going to say. Not. Well, I'm glad this is on record.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm confident with it, too. So I'm confident with it.
Oh, man. All right. Curtis, what do you got? Predictions? I'm predicting, and you guys pay attention to this. I'm predicting the state of Oregon is going to have three people come out of this state as number one draft picks. We already got the baseball number one draft pick, and that happened yesterday. A guy named Addie Rushman. This woman, I forget her name, she plays at the University of Oregon women's basketball. She's going to be a number one draft pick for some team in that WNBA. WNBA. And Justin Herbert from Oregon, the quarterback, is going to be a number one draft pick in football. So the state of Oregon, this little small state, the 27th biggest state in the nation, and the first time in this state's history, we're going to have three people be picked number one in the different leagues around the nation. I'm gonna deal with some of the things that Rob said. So, if for LA not to, and this affects me dearly because those are the games this year that I'm gonna make. I'm gonna go to maybe four or five games down in LA. Because they're still playing at the Coliseum. That's still a really good ticket. It's right in my wheelhouse to be down on the 30-yard line, 40-yard line, 10 rows up, and check out that team. So I got a
bet. Watch me in L.A. Week two, Saints against the Rams in L.A. Okay. I plan to be there week two.
Okay. So... okay, I'm not. The prediction is you're telling me they're not going to make the playoffs. So, what I think you're assuming Seattle is going to win that division, and San Francisco is going to be piggybacking right off of Seattle, because just like last year, I'm predicting two teams from the West are going into the NFL playoffs. And from what your prediction is, you're predicting San Francisco is going to have a better year than the L.A. Rams.
No, I didn't say that.
I'm very skeptical. And you're predicting that Russell Wilson is going to win that division. And
I think
Carroll,
Seattle is going to win the division. I would agree with that. But I think the Rams are still the second-best team in that division, but they're going to miss the playoffs. They're going to be somewhere in that 7-9, 8-8, 9-7, but they're going to be a team that missed the playoffs. I think they're still the second-best team in that division. I don't think the 49ers and the Cardinals are going to surpass the Rams, but I think Seattle's the only playoff team in that division.
Okay. And then the other thing you said, I think Pittsburgh's got something to prove. That coach, Roethlisberger, that whole team's got something to prove. And they're
I think
in Steel
finished
City.
Last in the AFC.
And they're in Steel City, and that coach, that quarterback, and that system believe that they are the team to beat. And they are on a mission, I believe this year, to prove it. The Browns are not winning that division. They absolutely are not winning that division. They are not winning that division. The Browns are not winning that division. They absolutely are. They are not. Now, you know, it's sad. It's sad that.
Go ahead, Curtis.
It's sad that, and you know, and that's just horrible. The first thing you got to look at that trash that is in New England's division. That's 5 wins there, or is it 6? Yeah, that's 6 wins there. So they are definitely winning their division. There's no doubt there. You would hope, my only hope is Kansas City. We hope Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes and that whole organization there is gearing up to knock out Tom Brady and them Patriots this year. This is their window. This is what they better be doing. If they're not doing anything else, they better be getting ready to knock them Patriots off. And like I said, Pittsburgh is almost in that same boat. They need to get their act together, and they need to knock them Patriots right off the block. They're going in the playoffs. So if you're going to get them, you got to get them there. And that's Kansas City and Pittsburgh. But
and I think Kansas City, my prediction is Kansas City will end up being the best team, and they will be coming out of the AFC. I don't think it'll be New England. I think it'll be Kansas City.
Without Kareem Hunt and possibly without Tyreek Hill, too?
Well, I'm thinking, I mean, they got smart people in Kansas City. They got very smart people. So they know what they lost. What they had to do was figure out.
Be smart. You better get some talent to replace them.
Yeah, that's what I think they did. And I think
they got the guy from Georgia.
I'm thinking those two teams, it's a failure season for those two teams if they don't knock up New England. It's a failure season if they don't knock up New England. Another one of my predictions is that the Women's World Cup, which starts Friday, will get a really good number on the ratings in this country. And they're going to do a better rating than the men. And they, I mean, it's not even a bold prediction. The women, it's amazing. Our Women's World Cup team are vying for championships, and our Men's World Cup teams can't even get in the World Cup. What a mess up. And,
I love how, hey, hold on really quick. I was going to say, Chris, I love how you went outside of football. It was like, we're trying to keep it.
Well, that is football.
It's soccer.
I got
it. It's soccer to me. Yeah, I mean, but this.
That's all
okay. I'm going to tell you guys this. I got a mental disease. I have to have sports on TV on my Saturday and my Sunday. And I got to find it somewhere. And I don't got all the sports channels on cable. Saturday this week, I was watching the women's golf. The ladies PGA, they were playing their American Open. And I watched that because I had to have some kind of TV because the basketball didn't come on until Sunday. And I'm not – my least favorite sport is hockey. But if it's the only thing on TV, I'll watch it. And I don't think that was even on until this. I think that came on late on Saturday. That came on late. But I ended up going to the Timber soccer game, their opening game, against the best team in the NLS this year, LAFC. And LAFC brought probably 7,000 people from L.A. to fill up the cheapest seats in the stadium They had that whole section filled. They traveled well, and they were all dressed in black. Black shirts, black trousers, black jeans. And most of them were Hispanic, black hair. They were blacked out, and they had a blackout in our new stadium here. And they have the best team. LAFC has the best team in that soccer league. And I still think the Portland team is gonna make it to the playoffs. That's my bold prediction. But I'm gonna tell you, FC is in their division. The Galaxy still has got a monster team down there in LA. And the second team in this soccer league on the West, the second team is Seattle. So Portland's got a huge mountain climb if they're going to get in the playoffs. But my pole prediction is Portland will be in the Western Conference MLS playoffs.
Okay. All right. So we went in the mind of Curtis for that, which was fantastic. Again, so we appreciate that, Curtis. So we're trying to make sure we get enough topics and enough people to chat about whole things too. So Gary, I'm gonna let you talk, and when we throw it around again, we got a lot of people to get to some opinions too. So you know, try to keep our thoughts succinct and everything like that too. We're having a good time. Keep it moving here. So. And poor JQ hadn't talked either, man. So what do you got to say really quick, Gary?
Well, I said before, I think Kansas City's going to come out of the AFC. I think that I don't think it's going to be Philadelphia coming out of the East, of course. I'm with the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are going to come out of the East. I think that's where your wild card will be here. Extra wild card will be coming out of the East with Philadelphia. Both teams will make the playoffs. I think it's a crapshoot. I think that LA could still win the West. Seattle's always a tough team with Russell Wilson, but I'm going to go with LA because that's a wild prediction that's out there. I'm not going to go with the safe predictions. As far as Pittsburgh is going to be a playoff team, I believe. That's what I got. That's all I've got with those teams. Curtis, you got anything else? NFL? Okay, he's done. He shook his head. He's done. He's done talking.
We love okay. Curtis. It's awesome. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jake.
For me, I'm with them, though. I think Pittsburgh wins the North. As much as I hate to say that, sometimes you have addition by subtraction, and Antonio Brown, I think, was much of a bigger problem than we all realized. I still think they find a way. Everybody is sold on Cleveland. I think Cleveland makes the playoffs, but I don't think they win the AFC North. I think they make it. I think you start looking at the pool of who else can win the other wild card. That AFC South is going to be tremendously competitive. I don't think Mariota is going to do it for Tennessee, so to speak, but Indianapolis looking good with Andrew Luck, and I like Deshaun Watson in Houston. So those two are my picks there to probably – fill that out. I hope my Bengals, I'm quietly optimistic about it, but I don't believe that they're there quite yet. I still am not a believer in Andy Dalton, so I can't put them over the top. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go with the Colts. I really like what they've done.
Like
I think they're on the upswing coming out of the AFC. I know it's easy to pick New England. Of course, I think they win that division. I think that's just a given. If we go to the West, I think losing Tyreek Hill and stretching that defense is a big loss. And you can go ahead and book it. I know you guys don't know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is done. You can't beat your son and have the police call and then your girl the conversation and the police have it. He's a wrap. He's at least 8 to 10 games. I just don't think he's going to be able to do enough when he gets back to make the difference up. I think San Diego wins the AFC West. I believe the Seahawks win the NFC West. I believe the Saints win the NFC South. I believe the Eagles win the NFC East. I believe that the Bears take a step back.
I believe
the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, wins the NFC North. I have no idea who comes out of the NFC, but I'm going to throw my boys on the West Coast with some love. I really think Seattle's retooled that defense. I think this is now Russ's team. They're going to be a running team with a running quarterback who can make plays with a solid defense, and you can win games that way. It's portable. You can win them on the road. You can win them at home. So I'm just going to say it. I'm going to go with Seattle and Indianapolis in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Wow.
That's a bold prediction. That's exactly what it's all about, too. Good job, JQ. We'll do that. I don't trust the Eagles with I think Carson Wentz is going to struggle, man. I just don't trust him, man. That's me. But, yeah, man, I like how Rod came out the gate with the Patriots. But I kind of do agree with you, Gary, about Kansas City, even though they're talking about they lost. They did lose a loss, but they definitely got to – McCole Hardeman from Georgia to replace Tyreek Hill. So we'll see what's happening too. I mean, I'm not going to totally
you
count them out, man.
You can't be realistic that he's going to be able to replace Tyreek Hill as a rookie.
That's not what I'm saying. Understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that they know what they're doing. I think they've got some other things up their sleeve too. So again, I'm just saying I do like what they're doing. Again, I do agree with you, Rob, that he is going to come down to earth. But again, let's give Andy Reid some credit, man. So I think, I'm not saying he's going to replace Tyreek Hill by any means. But yeah, so that's all I'm saying with that, too. But again, everyone likes, there's a lot of love for Cleveland, man. And they made the biggest headlines, obviously getting, obviously Odell Beckham and drafting, right now the talent is there, man. So now they have to produce now. Everyone knows they're coming. Good call on the Colts, JQ. As well, and the Texans again were so good to happen with them, and you hope that the Texans do something with Deshaun Watson too. So good call, man. I like it, man. So that's how you do bold predictions. And like I said, shout out to Gary. We appreciate it, and Curtis for taking us down that nice path as well too, man. So let's talk about really quickly.
Great call,
yeah, that's a good call too. I don't think the Saints are going to go Super Bowl. I'm going to pick my Falcons in there too, but we'll talk about it. We're all hoping for that too. Let's talk about Dominic Sue here and his fit with the Bucks here right now, because again, you talk about interesting predicament that he's been kind of like going around from team to team. Where do you think he fits with the Bucks, JQ, and your thoughts about that from that perspective?
I don't think it's going to matter. Because I don't trust Jameis Winston. They don't have a run game. They have Evans, but you can double-team Evans. And I'm just not sold on the Bucs now. And this is a transition for me because I was on them thinking they were going to be a dark horse of the sleeper team. But Jameis Winston just looks like a full-blown idiot. And that defense I just don't think is going to be – he does. I'm sorry. I told you these past weeks going into the draft and last year, but this year was make it or break it for Mariota and for Winston. They both coming up on those options. I just don't know if they've done enough to say, hey, we're the guy. So I don't trust him because I see it. So I just don't think Sue – and think about it. I don't – how many flashy plays do you think Sue made for the Rams? Now he's going to the Bucks. I just – I think that's just I'm going to get a paycheck.
They're definitely a wild card for sure. Go ahead, Rob.
I totally agree. I don't think his impact is going to be great at all. Was he solid with the Rams last year? Yes. Was he great? Absolutely not. And he's obviously a year older going into Tampa this year. So, obviously, they lose Gerald McCoy. They're getting them down with consent. I don't think it's going to have a great impact. And I totally agree with JQ when it comes to Jameis Winston. To me, Tampa is still the worst team in the division, and they finished dead last in the division. Obviously, Devin White, I think, is going to be a big impact to that defense, but they're still not good enough to compete with the rest of the teams in that division, in my opinion. And, they still have the weakest link. They have the weakest quarterback in the division, and that's what's going to set them back.
Sure, just Gary, keep it brief, guys. Keep it sync.
Well, I definitely would agree with the consensus. I think that they're a weak team. And they're going to be weak for a while. I don't think this is just one or two players away. I think this is maybe a franchise philosophy that they've got to change, and they've got to get rid of that knuckleheaded quarterback and bring in somebody else.
He's a knucklehead. But there's some things he does that are just. Just makes the coach have gray hairs quick. And it's too bad. So and then, like I said, Mariota's, if this is make or break this year for him, and it's not looking good there either. But in that division, you know, Cam Newton and his guys are loaded. Atlanta, I have no idea. I have no idea. They got some
had
studs.
A lot of injuries. Had a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries.
Well, you know, boy, you have no idea there. And I've heard some talk radio people here thinking that the team that's going to slide is the New Orleans Saints. I've heard that. That division, it's not wide open, but I'm not sure I see the team that's going to come out of there. That's definitely a division that you're going to have to prove it. You're going to have to prove it week by week. And if you can't prove it, you're not going to win that division.
Well, I would say this, Curtis. I would say that the best quarterback in that division is playing for the New Orleans Saints. And if it's the quarterback play that's going to prove that, that's going to be New Orleans. I think New Orleans is coming out of that division.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
that tight end, which he hadn't had, and Jared Cook. It's going to add to the passing game.
Yeah, well, like I said, they definitely won it, so you have to knock them off so they have the champs until you do that. I will say the other thing that, from the Atlanta perspective, that we did have a lot of injuries on defense, and I know that definitely did affect a lot of stuff that we were able to accomplish. So we definitely geared up offensively, the offensive line, to just to kind of, like, hold water. And, you know, we do hope that Drew Brees will eventually start getting older and will start to show some wear and tear. But, again, I've always respected him, and I think he's a great quarterback too. So no shade from that perspective. It's always going to be a great division. I don't necessarily think everyone should pick the Saints because, yeah, they were the representative for the NFC last year. So that's a good call. But, again, so the games are played. I'm going to hold my water and say that we've definitely made enough moves, and we're here, man. So we're going to try to definitely stake our claim on the division two. And we made a lot of adjustments and a lot of changes. So we'll see, man. So we're ready, to say the least. We got about 27 minutes here. We're going to keep this going here. Time is fine, having a good time. We are going to switch gears, and we are going to talk some NBA here. And there's a lot of talk about the Warriors, which is awesome. And I'm going to string a couple of topics together because everything kind of makes sense. First, we're going to talk about, you know, we'll throw this around to you around the country to kind of get your thoughts on this too. And the first thought is talking about Steph Curry and see the finals MVP so far. And looking at this is kind of a tough thing because if you're judging kind of right now, you may be looking at Draymond Green. But I think the fact that since Clay went down and Moody went down, I mean, and Curry's been doing his thing, man. So playing well, it's been a team thing. So this is definitely an opportunity for him to kind of prove it, if you will, because again, Durant's not coming back supposedly for game three. He may be coming back game four. And, you know, this is Curry's time to really shine. I mean, obviously, we know how he does impact and infect the game. So now is the opportunity for him to step up and kind of say, hey, this is me, especially with all everyone gone too, because there's some times never focus on him, and he does a good job of definitely trying to raise the team. So this is his time to shine. But like I said, as of right now, you kind of have to get the slight edge to Draymond Green with a front runner. But this is Curry's time to step up too, if you will. I'll let you guys talk about that as well. I don't think that Kevin Durant's going to be as effective because he may be a little rusty before he comes back for game four if that does happen. But, again, it will definitely be a great comeback because if we don't know what's going to happen with Klay Thompson, how long he's going to be out, and Mooney is out indefinitely too. So this is an interesting finals as well. So your thoughts? Can you take you?
Yeah, I think it's too early to name one in either direction because you could have said that to game one. You could say, oh, man, Siakam is going to be the surprise MVP, and then he came back to earth in game two. Curry had a really good game one. He was going to be in game two, but that game two to me was about DeMarcus Cousins stepping up big when Looney got hurt and then Clay with that crazy split that he hit. I struggled with how well he's going to be able to play in game three when the MRI comes back with a mild hamstring strain. I just think it's too early. I think as long as they win and the way he can play in those wins, he can definitely be the MVP. But DeMarcus Cousins is going to have to carry a significant load here, at least in game three. And I really think in game four, too, because even if you get Kevin Durant back, and I don't think you do, you're talking about Kevin Durant at about 65, 70%. He can't do everything that he's been doing where he's been Kevin Durant. So for me, for Golden State right now, it's going to end up probably being either, you know, Steph or probably be DeMarcus Cousins. But yeah, after game two, it's just too early to say this guy's going to be the MVP. I honestly believe that.
Mm-hmm. Good, Rob.
Yeah, there's still a lot of basketball to be played. But after two games, even though the series is tied, you know, you have to feel like the Warriors are in the lead because they actually went to Toronto and got one of these wins on the road. So for me, you know, after the first two games, I would say the MVP is Draymond Green. And when you look at it, he's not quite averaging a triple-double, but he's almost averaging a triple-double. And, you know, we have not, you know, seen a player that had that kind of impact in multiple categories in the NBA Finals since LeBron James. Now, he's not doing it on the level of LeBron James, but I think he's just having an impact on so many areas for the Warriors. And he's doing it when it counts the most, too. You know, it counts down the stretch. And so he's stepping it up in a lot of areas on the defensive end, the offensive end. And so he's doing a lot of things to help piece that team together. And, you know, he's going to have a shot at it as long as he don't kick nobody in the nuts again. He'll have a
Here
shot.
Here we go.
At this finals MVP. But as of right now, I have to give it to him.
I was taking shots. West Coast, what you got?
Hurst, what you got? The Warriors are showing you, and we got to give that coach for the Warriors a lot of credit. They're showing us next man up mentality. They're showing you how deep they are. And they're also showing you a concept that I've been watching with the Blazers a lot. I've been noticing when I watch the Blazers, depending on how their third quarters go, and if their third quarters go really well, the Blazers end up winning those games. Now I'm noticing that it looks like Golden State plays the first half, they make their adjustments, they tell every man to man up, because when we get in that third quarter, we crush. And they did it to Portland three games in a row. Just took that third quarter and threw that team in the garbage. And when they got right after that super game, super Canada game in game one, when they got right, I mean, and I think everybody in the NBA knows it. Golden State's coming for your third quarter. They're coming to eat you alive in the third quarter. And if you don't know that, then you haven't been paying attention.
And there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Well, you know, it's time to cheat. It's time to body up on people. It's time to give people knees and elbows. You know, they got a lot of guys on that that bench there. Yeah, so they can do a lot of fouls. They need to stop knocking some guys off their blocks in Golden State in that third quarter so they don't get that kind of momentum. They don't take your heart out in that third quarter. If you can't score with them, then you gotta knock them off their blocks. I'm sorry.
Yes.
It's been,
Well, the problem, and I'm going to go with Draymond Green. You know, sometimes when you're playing against him, and we've played against him so many times, he's upsetting and frustrates your team and frustrates the players that he's guarding. But what I've seen is when he's pushed it up himself, because they're so good on the wings, you know, with the Splash Brothers, that pretty much all he has to do is make one fake in the paint, and he's got a layup. And that happened so many times against the Blazers, and now it's happening against, you know, Toronto. He's done the same thing several times, and boy, that's just a good move, because you're so worried. You want to take away everything, and you can't on that team, so you try and take away, you know, the best two players right now without KD in there, which is, you know, Seth and Clay, and it leaves a guy like Draymond Green, whose basketball IQ is phenomenal. He knows what to do, when to do it, and how to just cut your throat, and he's doing it.
But that team, that Golden State team, does put a lot of pressure on you. You can't miss shots on that team. You just can't miss shots on that team. You have to be perfect. And every possession, you better come up with some kind of bucket. You miss shots, you're down by 10 points. You miss another shot, you're down by 16 points. You cannot miss shots on that team. It's horrible. I'm going to give you guys an example. Game 4 in Portland. Portland got that game to overtime. And the only thing I knew, Golden State was going to make more shots than Portland was in that overtime. Portland got it to overtime. They were going to lose because Golden State's going to make more shots. They just are.
And that's
it in a nutshell.
Yep, that's good. That's exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, because again, they're definitely gonna we're gonna trade 2s for 3s all the time, and they're just so explosive too. Like I said, that's just something that they just excel at too. So good call on that. 18 minutes to go here. I'm gonna really briefly talk about this comment about Seth being disrespected by his peers. Then we're gonna get to Rob talking about Pelicans listening to trade offers and whatnot too. I was just gonna say really quickly regarding disrespect, because it's crazy, because not quite sure. I mean, everyone, and this is an interesting article, because you hear about, people talking about Steph, but he has went up against some of the great point guards, from Damian Lillard to Chris Paul, obviously to, oh my gosh, I've forgotten the first guy they played against. But anyway, but he has pretty much stood his ground against all of them, so I don't know where the disrespect is coming from. And again, he has made an impact on the Warriors and also the way the game is played too, man. So just something to keep in mind, and if it's kind of disrespect, maybe it's in closed circles, if you will. So he has definitely done his thing, man. So that's my little 2 cents on that too. So anyone that's comment on that, that's fine. And then Rob will let you talk about the Pelicans, listen to trade offers and stuff like that.
Yeah, in my opinion, I don't think it's that the league disrespects him. I think they actually respect him and his game. I think a lot of guys just don't like him. And, you know, I think his personality comes across as a little bit arrogant. And so I think that's the part of the game where a lot of people just don't like him. But I think they actually respect him. Because, I mean, a player of that caliber, you have to respect. So I think I don't think it's a lack of respect. I just think a lot of people around the league just don't like him.
Well, that's interesting.
Are you talking about
this? Yeah, all good. Yeah, that's what he's talking about,
I think the problem is that he came in and he has this New York rise, and he has this goody-two-shoe kind of personality, and some of the dudes are like, you know what, that dude ain't that squeaky clean. He got dirt on him, too. But y'all treating him like he's the second coming of Jesus. And I feel like that's what it is. You know, like, just think about how his extent in this league, you know. And, of course, I mean, he's the best shooter in this NBA that we've seen. But I think there's some of that is some resentment. I think they respect his game, but I think there's still some resentment of that dude ain't as clean as they're making him out to be, and they put him on this pedestal and you know, bump that. He's just like the rest of us, but okay, whatever. I think that's the problem with Steph and everybody else.
Well, one of the things I talked to Gary about is I look at Steph Curry and I got my mouth open. Because I'm seeing what I'm seeing, and then I see they put up, he passed up Ray Allen. He passed up Reggie Miller in the least amount of games. And I thought Ray Allen was bad. I thought Reggie Miller was bad. I look at him, and I don't see bad. but he's passing some bad dudes up. So when I watch Kevin Courtney, I got my mouth open. But you look at what he's doing, and he is crushing dudes in our history. He's crushing them. Dudes that I thought those dudes were bad. So what do I think about this guy?
Well, if you're a top-level point guard in the NBA, there's some cockiness to you. And he's a phenomenal guard in this league. He's, you know, a champion. I've talked about KD, but obviously he's proven to me that, you know, without KD, he just, you know, you guys say it's Steph's team. Well, he's proven it right now. And so with that said, whether you're a quarterback or whether you're a point guard in the NBA, you know, there is some cockiness, and there's some cockiness with all of them. Well, I don't care there's cockiness with all of these athletes, but he's backing it up with phenomenal play. He's backing it up with chips. So until you beat him, too bad. Just swallow it and try and get your team ready for next year.
Or stand there with your mouth open.
Well, he's definitely the best shooter, in my opinion, of all time. That says a lot. We've got a lot of great shooters in that game. But I haven't seen a guy who was a better shooter. So you got to give him that credit.
Yeah, just to wrap it up, too, what I would say that is crazy because, like you said, you have to have a little gumption to play the game because, again, whenever he first came to the league, you know, he wasn't projected to do as well as he did. I mean, because, you know, he was kind of out of position. Like, is he big enough to be a shooting guard? Is he a true point guard? And for him to kind of do his thing, you definitely got to give him some credit for that perspective, too. So, you know, he's overcome a lot of stuff. And I know, like, whenever he first came and they were talking about the tweets, that he read the tweets as far as he's not going to do this or he's too small to do this and this and that. So, you know, it was just good to see his arc. And the fact that shooters that are, you know, we can actually do things in the game. You don't have to be like this big, you know, six foot six guy, man. You can kind of do your thing and be a great shooter, and you can change the way the league is, man. So that's what you sense on that. All right, we got 12 minutes, Rob. Talk about your Pelicans here. Listen to trade offers, if you will. And stay tuned, JQ. We're coming to you, man, about some stuff too, man. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, yeah. Latest reports are the Pelicans are officially fielding offers for Anthony Davis again. And LeVar Ball also comes out and says Lonzo is not going anywhere. So it's really interesting. The latest reports are obviously the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Knicks. And I hear the Celtics are getting back in it. And even Milwaukee's is a team to watch, is possibly getting in to the Anthony Davis talks. But I hear if it's up to him, he would love to go to L.A. or New York. So it looks as though he's looking to play in a big market, if those are his top two choices, to play in L.A. or New York. So it's going to be interesting to see who comes up. A lot of teams have some intriguing packages. When you look at the Celtics and the Knicks and the Lakers, I'm not sure what the Clippers have to offer. But when you look at those three teams have some intriguing packages. And I'm not sure what Milwaukee can offer either. But I think those three teams have some intriguing packages, like I said, when you look at the Knicks, Celtics, and Lakers.
The problem is they're going to have to kidnap LeVar and put him in the trunk somewhere like Nas, you know, body in the trunk. So what's it going to be? Like, they're going to have to do that because he's killing it. Because at the end of the day, he doesn't have any say-so on whether or not they can keep Lonzo can go to New Orleans. They can trade him and say bye. And you know what? He's going to be eating beignets on Burger Street. But I'm saying he doesn't have any say-so. But he's ruining it with the perception. Now you're bringing the circus. And again, I told you when they drafted Lonzo, when you bring the circus to town, don't be upset when the elephant shits in your yard. And that's what's happening to them. And it's continually happening to them. And there's nothing you can do about it, but they signed up for that. So New Orleans, you don't want to deal with that. And I don't blame New Orleans at all. As a Lakers fan, I don't want to deal with it. So I can imagine none of the other teams want to deal with that. So they're ruining that package. So he can't be in the package for L.A. I think they still have other pieces they can include in getting that fourth pick, even in a three-man draft. If you fall in love with that fourth guy and you say, I know I can get him at four, that might make a move the needle a little bit if you take Lonzo out and substitute that fourth pick. But he's ruining it for that, for me, for Lonzo. But, you know, still some combination of Ingram and Kuzma and some filler for, you know, bring back that terrible hill or selling the hill or whatever the L.A. is going to have to absorb in that deal. They could do that. If Boston, same thing, picks and good young talent. So it's gonna be interesting. It was crazy that you sit down with the GM and you still want to be traded. So I don't know what's gonna happen with them, but they're losing. To me, they're losing leverage by the day.
Yep. West Coast.
A couple things, and this goes to Rob. I heard the owner. And I think it's a female. She absolutely does
Vero
not
Benson.
Want to deal with L.A.
That's
one, right. You know, but whatever happened last year was ugly, and there's some bad feelings there. There's some bad blood there. And I'm hearing that she absolutely does not want to deal with L.A. The other thing, too, and I think it's smart, they don't want to trade him to the West. New Orleans is in the West. They don't want that boy playing against them in the West. So I'm not going to count LA out.
There was a report out that she made the comment over my dead body when we traded Anthony Davis to the Lakers. She did come out and said she never said that. And so I'm assuming – you know, whatever team is going to make the best offer, that's, you know, going to be in the best interest for the Pelicans, whether it's the Lakers or whether it's anybody else, that's who he's going to get traded to. Like I said, she came
out
and denied that report
saying that
over her dead body.
She got caught. Somebody said that.
we know that was said somewhere, somehow. Hey, we're keeping this moving here. We got about 7 minutes, guys, so let's try to keep this under 3 minutes as we get ready for the OT portion here. And we're going to still talking NBA here, and we're going to talk about Raptors. We're going to talk two things. No, we're not going to talk about Drake. We're going to talk about, really quickly, do they protect Kawhi too much, and does Kawhi need to be more aggressive? So, Rob, start off, JQ, and then West Coast as always. So go ahead.
I'm going to say yes to both of those questions. I do think the Raptors protect him too much, and he just has a very unique personality. I mean, it just seems like they try to protect him and baby him way too much, even during the regular season with all his load control and all of those kind of things like that. And absolutely, phenomenal basketball player, but I personally believe he can even give more to that organization. I really do. I think he could have a bigger impact on this team that could possibly propel them even further here. Is this something missing with him? It's hard to put your finger on it, but it just does not seem like he's going over and above while he's out there. And he's still putting up great numbers, but I still think he can do more for that team to help them to excel.
Well, the finals, Rob, it's tough.
I don't know if it's leadership that he's lacking. You know, I just don't see a guy out there motivating his teammates. I just don't see it. I just don't see any animation. It's just very weird to me. It's just very weird when your best player does not rally the troops. Even though they've had a successful season.
But that's who he is. That's who he was in San Antonio. You're asking him to be somebody different because he's left that Popovich first.
He didn't have to do that in San Antonio.
I agree. But I think that's just who he is. He doesn't have that kind of vocal demonstrative leadership where he's going to go put his arms around dudes and get in their faces. He's going to kind of try to lead by example, but he tries to keep an even keel. And I think that's his way of leadership of let's not get too high and let's not get too low. I'm going to keep it even keel, so you keep it even keel. There's two more things to that, and you're right on a certain point. One, I think he's hurting. I think his leg is hurting more than they're letting on, and they're trying to protect him because of that. And two, if you're going to be honest, he's not fully invested. He got traded. 1 year left on his deal to Toronto. They've had great success. Don't get me wrong. They're playing for a championship. But he didn't ask to be in Toronto. He didn't sign up in Toronto and say, yes, this is what I wanted. We're finally getting what I wanted. Oh, my God, yes, I got to be a vocal leader and go crazy. It feels like he's playing the string out a little bit to see how it goes, and then he's going to make a decision moving forward. Let's see how he acts with either Toronto if he resigns or if he goes somewhere else. But I just think he's just, you know, y'all put me in a situation. I'm going to do me while I'm hurt, but I've never really been a vocal leader. So all those factors combined is the Kawhi that you're getting.
Yep.
You mean to tell me he was not excited about going to a place where it's like 15 to 20 degrees in the wintertime?
It's actually a great city. I'm being facetious. Toronto is
Toronto has an All-Star game. They said Kawhi Leonard did not leave his hotel room because it was too cold. That was people in his circle told people that he just did not like being up there because it was too cold. He didn't do anything but go to practice and go to the game and come back to his hotel room and chill. That's who Kawhi Leonard is.
Yeah, I think what you don't see out of Kawhi Leonard, and I guess, you know, when you were just going through that about what you don't see, Jordan had this, he looked like somebody. He had a killer instinct that was scary. Jordan looked like if he was a boxer, he was killing people in the ring. When Tiger Woods was winning all them championships and was coming back off of 7 back and was beating people by 30 strokes, he looked like he had that killer. There are certain guys out there that look like they will take your head off to win this, whatever their endeavor is. And Michael Jordan had it. Tiger had it. LeBron kind of had it there for a little while that of all costs, I'm beating you. And that's what you don't see out of Kawhi. A couple things, and I'm going to try to be quick here. I'm watching Kyle Lowry, and I don't know if Kyle Lowry is any good. And then I watched their three guards, Van Vliet, Denny Green, Kyle Lowry. All three of those guys are not better than Damian Lillard, they're not better than our two guards. All three of those guys are not better than our two guards.
Portland's front line is not as good as Toronto's front line either.
Go ahead, Rob. 2 minutes. Set it for the OT portion, bro.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're talking a little NBA right now. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't get that portion of the show to you live. So click on the same link starting tomorrow. We can get the rest of the show to you. We might have some time to squeeze in a little baseball at the end of the show. Well, we're definitely going to wrap up our NBA coverage here on the overtime portion, so you don't want to miss it. Click on the same link as early as tomorrow and the rest of the week, and we will get the rest of the show to you. Next week, we're still working on the date for next week's show. Stay tuned to our Twitter and Facebook posts. More than likely, obviously, it will be sometime between Sunday and Wednesday, but we will keep you posted on that night for next week. So please stay tuned. Once again, thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back in touch with you on next week. Good night, people.
Yeah, so I'm just going to put that out there. I'm going to be on my baseball odyssey. I'm not going to Cleveland because I'm from Cincinnati. So I'm not going to the All-Star game in Cleveland this year, but I will be going to Chicago and Milwaukee leaving Friday. I'll be in Chicago and Milwaukee till Tuesday. I'll be back so we can do it on Tuesday because I definitely can't do it on Sunday. I appreciate all y'all for listening to the show and our ramblings. And I don't know if you heard my wife and Mike back there talking about their random foolishness, but I was trying to keep it on mute so we could talk about sports. So thank y'all for bearing with me this week as much as possible. I appreciate it for sure. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time. Good night.
Yes, sir. That's how we ended. And of course, West Coast. We're going
to
get you guys up
be better at multitasking.
I've been multitasking. Hey, that's how we end it too. So we're having fun, and we will keep this moving here. All right, fellas, let's talk more or less about a couple things we'll talk about as we wrap up the NBA talk. JQ, we're finally going to get a chance to let you talk about your thoughts regarding LeBar. LeVar Ball says LeBron can win a championship with young players and no free agents, and will he demand a trade? Are the Lakers being hijacked by LeBron and his agents? So that's all you, JQ.
I told you earlier how I feel about LeVar Ball. He's just a cancer, and what's happening with Magic is just emboldening him to say, oh, yeah, I told you that he didn't have the juice, yada, yada, yada. He's ruining any package they can put together that involves Lonzo Ball because he doesn't want Lonzo to leave L.A. They're from L.A. They are Lakers fans. He wants Lonzo to stay in L.A. So you just have to take all of that with that grain of salt and view it through that prism that he's speaking through. That being said, he's totally wrong. They have to get at least one free agent in order to make this work. And it just depends on if, you know, they have to get one more impact player. Let me take that back. Either a free agent or through a trade. Through a trade is how much do they have to give up and how does that affect their bench and their depth? And who could they convince as a second or third tier free agent to take money to come there with LeBron and, you know, great player X to team up to try to win a championship? So that's the piece of it for LA. They're not just restricted to the free agent market. They have, I think, enough. Getting that fourth pick was paramount for them. I truly believe that. I think they have enough decent young talent with that pick to where they can facilitate a trade or get somebody through free agency. But LeVar's killing it for Lonzo in any of those packages. And for as long as LeBron is concerned, come on, bro, you chose L.A. You could have went to Philly and played with Embiid and them. You could have done a whole host of things. You chose to go to L.A. You knew what you were signing up for. And he signed up for those years. I don't think it's player options, and he has no trade. So at the end of the day, unless he goes and says, I'm not playing, which hurts his own legacy and his own stature in the league, which I don't think he will ever risk, he's playing for L.A., man. He might not be happy about it, and he might put the pressure on them to, you know, not only facilitate trades but accelerate them to get them done. But he can't say, you know, I ain't playing, you know, I have a no-trade option, and all my years are guaranteed here in L.A., but I ain't going to play. You trade me. He can't risk that kind of PR hit, especially as we know, all of us know about how LeBron cares about his image. I just don't see that happening. So the pressure is on the L.A. front office, no doubt, to make something happen. But they are under no pressure, I don't think, from a LeBron leaving standpoint. They just have to come to the point that they don't get ridiculed by all of us. You've got LeBron, and you still haven't been able to get another guy. So that's on you. But that pressure is more of a external social media kind of pressure, but not a LeBron's going to force his way out pressure. I would be shocked at that. I don't think he can do that and still come out clean, and he cares about being clean.
Nice. Rob? Stay tuned.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that was very well said. And in regards to LeBron, I think he's going to end his career with the Lakers. I think this is where he wants to be. I think he wants that Hollywood lifestyle. He's you know, looking to be that media mogul and things of that nature, whatever he wants to do. So I think he's also looking at this as a future business thing for him. And does he still want to win down the stretch of his career? Absolutely. But I think he's going to do all he can to keep it in Los Angeles. I think this is his last move, in my personal opinion, unless the Lakers give up on him. But, you know, if it's still up to him, I think he stays there, and that's where he ends his career as he goes off into the business world where he's looking to, you know, to handle that in Los Angeles. So I think whether they get a free agent or not, I think he's still going to be in Hollywood playing there. And obviously, LeVar Ball is stupid. They will not win the championship with that team that he has right there or with all those young guys. They will not win a championship with that team. Do they have some nice pieces? Ingram and Kuzma, I think, have some potential. Lonzo Ball, I don't think he should be in the league. But, I mean, they will not win a championship with that team. There's no doubt about it.
Well, Bill, with that team that they have right now, they'll barely make the playoffs. And then they got to go against all the other tough teams in the West. They definitely need to bring somebody in, somebody like Anthony Davis or whoever. But they got to bring in someone that is really good. And the person that they bring in, you know, they have to have a killer instinct. It can't be, you know, Kawhi Leonard. They got to bring in a hired gun to help LeBron. That, you know, he's still good, but he's not what he was. And like I told you guys last year, getting beat up, you know, there's no games off in the West. And especially for a team like the Lakers, you know, where you're going to struggle to make the playoffs. You can't take any game off. You got to go full out all year long. The only team that can take any time off in the West really is, you know, is Golden State. They don't have that luxury. They need more. I think they need more than one person, too.
Yeah, good call.
Well, here's the good news, bad news. The good news, apparently, there's a fire sale going on in Houston. Everybody might be gone there. So that might be the bad news. LA seems not to have no leadership. But I'm also going to say this, as it goes, and what I've been hearing here on the West Coast. LeBron's kid and Dwayne Wade's kid are, I think, a year apart or 2 years apart. They're going to this, you know, they've been playing AAU ball together, and now they're going to this super high, one of those storefront basketball high schools in the canyon. And, you know, you got to kind of think as parents, as the proud papa to a son that might be a superstar, although Ball tried to say that usually superstars, and he's right there, usually superstars' sons don't end up like the superstar dad. But I think LeBron is not only locked into the Hollywood thing, but he's also locked into his son's success and his son being this phenom down in a factory down in Southern California.
Okay, cool. Nice, Curtis. Man, that's how y'all do that. That is the perfect way how to wrap it up, too. So before we do, we always have to do this because we're going to wrap the show up as we always do. Appreciate you guys and your comments, and we appreciate Mike and we appreciate Ms. Jenkins. Happy birthday for hanging out with us tonight. So now is the time, really quickly, to say anything you guys want to say that's happening for the sports week to kind of wrap up the show as we always have to do. So go ahead and kick it off. JQ, Rob, and West Coast, and we'll end it with the show after that, too. So go ahead, guys. Go ahead, JQ.
I don't have nothing. I have this foolishness happening around me. My Reds are still sucking. They win one, win two, win three, lose four. It's just killing me right now. I'm with you, though, Rob. I'm cautiously optimistic about my Bengals. But outside of that, I don't have a whole lot to discuss. I mean, I'm waiting on L.A. to do something for agency, then I'll have something to talk about.
There it is. Good job, JQ. I love it.
Yeah, Rob, I'd just like to thank our listeners again for tuning in to another Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We thank you all for tuning in. I apologize we don't have a date set for next week yet, but stay tuned. We'll be posting that on Twitter and Facebook and keep you guys updated. So definitely stay tuned. Let us know what you think. Let us know how you feel. Send us in. Write us in. Go LSU. Let's win this weekend so we can get to the College World Series.
Okay, hold on. Nice. So Mike wants to talk about Bart Starr for a quick second.
No, I just want to say RIP, Bart Starr. I love y'all. I'm sorry I haven't talked to y'all lately. Erica is straight up clowning
hey.
On Jaquan.
Okay, all right. That was it.
Mike, yeah, much very sad about Bart Starr. You talk about an iconic quarterback and kind of a legend of his own right, too, man. So definitely appreciate you. In that respect, too. So, West Coast, what you guys got as we wrap this up, guys? What you guys got, Curtis and Gary? Excellent job, by the way.
What I want to talk about is business. And the reason why you see all this stuff going on with the Oakland Raiders and maybe the Oakland A's and the Golden State Warriors. Like I said, I went to the opening game in our new stadium, and here's business. They put more seats in that new stadium than what the Blazers can draw here in Portland. So they're outdrawing the Blazers. But when you put stadiums in downtowns, in those business districts, where you got all those bars and restaurants that capitalize on all the fanship coming to those games. So here in Portland, all the bars downtown, and then there's two streets in the Northwest that are near, they're walking distance into that stadium. All the bars and restaurants are packed. The streets are packed. You got to park 2 miles away, which is what I had to do because I was late getting there. And so, you know, to walk to the stadium because there's no parking nowhere. And even though a lot of the fans catch that train and a lot of people pack up those upper downtown bars. So this is what leagues do, and this is what leagues need to do. They need to put their places in downtown areas where the fanship comes and spends their money in all the places there. And like I said, L.A. brought in 7,000, maybe 8,000 people. I'm thinking they probably stayed in all those downtown hotels at least one night because the game ended, you know, after 10:30. So they had to stay somewhere. So I guess that's it from the West Coast.
Nice. Cool. All right, Rob, let's wrap this thing up again, and we appreciate, again, I love the mind of Curtis, man. He takes us on a nice ride, man, too. So good job on that, sir, and for keeping it succinct, too, because, again, we can talk for hours, but I'm glad we had a chance to get your opinion. West Coast, we appreciate you guys as well, too. So, Rob, go ahead and wrap this up, man, as we always like to do.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in. Coming to you from Atlanta, Austin, and Portland tonight. We appreciate you tuning in from around the world. Continue to listen in. We look forward to hearing and talking with you all again on next week. Once again, we will keep you posted on our Facebook and Twitter pages on the update for the show on next week. Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in again.
Yes, thank y'all for hanging there with me. I appreciate y'all. Talk to you next week.
I'm surprised we made that.
Good night, gentlemen, from the West Coast. We appreciate you guys.
Have a good one. Like I said, have a great week, guys. And on the PF on the East Coast, as we get some rest, we appreciate you guys. And again, have a great week. Thanks, fellas. We'll talk to you soon.